Hey there, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. Coming up next, another sample of one of our podcasts. Yeah, we're more than just a weekly wrestling review show. Along with that, we do podcasts each and every day that can be delivered to you directly into your podcatcher by signing up to our Patreon. It is only $1 a week at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And you'll get podcasts like the next one. SmackDown. It falls at the end of the week and sometimes it's forgotten, but we have got you covered with our East Coast dads. Yeah, both of these gentlemen are from Nova Scotia. Yes, they are dads, and we call them the Smack Daddies. Reviewing SmackDown every week. A sample is up next, and if you want to get this review and each and every day get another review of pro wrestling, sign up patreon.com/SNMEradio. But now, your SmackDown review with the Smack Daddies.
Well, I feel like that also could be part of our commercial where we both simultaneously open our drinks and start drinking. Hello, friends. Welcome to the podcast. We are your Smack Daddies, and it is Friday night, and we're here to talk, well, SmackDown. We'll probably talk about other things too. I am your host, Brad the Dad. Running shotgun is my co-host, Greg, Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
And we are going to talk about an episode of SmackDown that I think I am very happy about, and Greg is not very happy. I can see the look on his face as he came in the door. And by the door, I mean this virtual Zoom door. And so funny thing, I text Greg and say, hey, Greg, I'm ready to go. And then I set up everything. I'm set up in my other space because my wife is still binging her something on Crave. I'm going to say The Witcher, not The Witcher, because that's the other thing. The Witch and the something is about vampires and demons. Anyways, she's watching it over yonder. Hopefully there isn't any random background noises that you'll hear from the crazy vampire witch and demon show. And I'm like, wait, nothing's working. And then I realized, like, oh, the fun blue cable that runs through to my office across the ceiling in the other room is not plugged into anything on the other end. So can't get internet without an Ethernet cable unless you go Wi-Fi. But I'm not a Wi-Fi guy, Greg. I don't know what, you know, maybe it's just me.
So I am at work because my Wi-Fi connection is up here in the office, my work connection is, and it actually broadcasts a specific work Wi-Fi through my house, which is good. So when I'm at work, typically I'm on Wi-Fi, but the way I've set up my home office here, I have my MacBook plugged in to my mesh system. So I am using Wi-Fi, I guess, from the mesh to the router, but my MacBook is plugged in directly to the mesh, so my speeds aren't that bad. But of course, it is not a SNME podcast unless we complain about internet. So here we are. This is our internet speed discussion of the evening.
Well, I'm just one of those people that if I get hardwired, I always do. It's just sure that comes in from the modem. It's safer. I've played around with all kinds of Wi-Fi over the last few years, and I'm just like, you know what? Hardwired if you can. So literally, I work at a big church with a big dome entryway, and I broadcast out of the far corner. So Bell would not move our modem when we came in. Hey, Joe, I know a guy at Bell now. Hey, Joe, get this fixed with me. All right, anyways, there's a guy.
Joe's not with Bell.
Wait, isn't he with Bell? Is he with Rogers?
No, but Joe's with Chorus.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, somebody with some stroke at Bell.
Someone at Bell. It's our friends at Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh my gosh!
Dark Side of the Ring.
Different people. That
Dark Side of the Ring. Different people. Dark Side of the Elite.
All right. Anyways, so yeah. Anyway, we ran close to 300 feet of Ethernet cable across the dome ceiling, like through the rafters in order to get into the corner spot. So the far corner of the building has where the router is. It's amazing. The amount of Ethernet cable that runs through the building, because everything is hard. Like, there's a ton of little ports that extend the network. But yeah, so there we go. We've talked full network nerd.
And I lied. They're not, he's not there. He's not Bell. He's Rogers. My bad.
And hey, somebody in Bell Media, hook a brother up. Like, what's going on? Anyways.
Oh, you do know someone in Bell Media.
Who's that?
The head of our table.
Oh, yeah, Jason.
But... yeah, Jason's with Bell on Sundays.
Yeah, but is he really with Bell?
Oh, funny. This part really got to get cut out. Like, this is just nonsense.
What do you mean it's nonsense? This is the best part. Everybody comes to listen to us dilly-dally. Nobody calls. Listen, at the rate you... Do you really want to get right to the SmackDown review?
One!
I don't know, Brad.
And that was number one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even supposed to be here, man.
Yeah, what happened with the job search? Did anybody apply? Nobody loves me?
So this is going out on the free feed this week. So for those who are joining us for the first time in maybe a long time or first time ever, welcome to the Smack Daddies. Last week, I threatened to quit the show. And I said I was quitting the show, and I put it out there and asked some of our patrons to apply at greg@smackdaddies.com so we could have someone take over for me, because I had lost the will after seeing more Sonya Deville and Naomi. And I received zero emails this week. Zero. None of you took me up on the offer. So here I am with Brad on this Friday night in advance of, you know, the... I've lost count of which nor'easter this is of the season. That's getting ready to bear down on us. And I watch SmackDown with Brad tonight so I could be here to talk to you guys.
Now, in fairness, if you're following along on the board, he did put out a message saying, Brad, tell me when it's safe to come back. And then I did put out a message when the section that I will be reviewing alone has finished and he came back to the show.
Yes. So... Here we are. But yeah, so that was our last week's show for particularly for those who are missed the show last week. But welcome, and we encourage you to join the Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio. It is basically $1 a week. Where you get daily podcasts from people like us, the Young Guns. You get, AEW coverage, you get Raw coverage. I mean, there's pretty well something every day. Don't forget to sign up at SNME Radio, patreon.com/SNME Radio. Just like I said, for $1 a week.
And if you sign up now, assuming that you listen to us before the Royal Rumble, you'll get an email in your inbox, and that'll send you a Patreon exclusive link where everybody in the world could join us on our YouTube channel to watch Boris and Matt host their first ever after party. Well, they hosted the last one, but this is the first time with Jason in tow. They're going to do a three-way dance. They're going to talk about Jason's favorite pay-per-view of the year, the Royal Rumble. And if you want to interact and be in the Zoom room where the chat is lit, as the kids say, you can come in and see that the chat is fire and join in. You can even show up, and maybe people will show up with their shirts on this time.
That's very true. People may show up with shirts on. Not just the chat in the room, you can actually speak on air. The boys will bring you up live to ask questions or what have you. So please consider subscribing, patreon.com/SNME Radio. And if you just are looking to even watch, you'll get the link, but it'll also be posted on the YouTube page where you can just watch for free if you wish, but it's going to be only view only. So,
and I'm going to suggest that if you're going to be wearing a shirt at this party, that you should go to ballergear.ca and get your favorite SNME merchandise. I highly recommend the Smack Daddies t-shirt, but that is not the only one. We are currently encouraging a brand new t-shirt.
We are.
Yeah. I mean, in the secret group chat, there is a brand new t-shirt logo I was working on all day. I might just, maybe you seem to be really pally with our friend over at ballergear.ca, Darren. Do you think if we send this one over that it would pass the test? I'm the amateur graphics guy, but do you think we could reveal this one live on air?
Sure. I will turn it over to you, my friend.
All right. So I did two versions of this. I'm going to put them both up in the chat below the posting of this. And so when you see this one, you can vote on which one you prefer, whether it's the Poppy Boris with the scrolly script or the Poppy Boris with the kind of broken little wavy script. Both of these logos are based on our friend Boris's, because Boris is Poppy Boris now. And he is, still a little bit like from that Eddie Guerrero, who's your Poppy or I'm your Poppy t-shirt design.
Yeah. And this is going to be a great way to start rumors about Boris being a Poppy. As Brad is losing control over there. Boris, when you get those questions from the lady friend, you can send them, you can have her reach out to brad@smackdaddies.com, where he will be fielding all of those questions for you.
The paternity test. Listen, I just think this, I think we have a gold mine here. I think Pappy Boris would be the coolest shirt going, or Boris is my Pappy could be another version of this shirt with it. I think that's a great shirt.
It certainly is something. I can say that with all certainty.
All right. Well, we've dilly-dallied off the top. We've told a few jokes, hopefully not too many dad jokes. And you can now, we do the lighter side of the news. If you want a great news pack, wait until you hear. I'm sure there'll be tons of news coming out of the Royal Rumble, and you're going to get to hear that with Mike and, of course, Uncle Dave Meltzer, who we lovingly refer to as Uncle Dave, the uncle of the SNME family. And I can't wait to hear what they're going to say. But in the meantime, I'll cue the music and take it away.
Thanks, Brad. So let's talk some news and notes of the week. Wrestling Observer reported earlier this week an update on Triple H and his plans for return. The newsletter reports there are currently no plans for Triple H to return to running NXT or to do any creative work at the company due to his health issues. Of course, WWE announced back on September 8th that he underwent successful heart surgery the week prior at Yale New Haven Hospital in New Haven, Connecticut. Operation was needed after Triple H suffered a cardiac event caused by a genetic heart issue, according to WWE's statement, that he was expected to make a full recovery. It's been reported that he's been doing well since then. We know that obviously Triple H has done some minor work in recent months, such as touring the new WWE headquarter facilities in Stamford with the executives, the other WWE executives back in November. But work has been pretty limited since his cardiac event. It doesn't look like that's going to be changing anytime soon. And right now, Shawn Michaels is kind of taking that lead role for NXT right now.
Wait. Shawn Michaels is taking over. He's the heartbreak kid, and he's taking over from the guy who had a heart attack.
There's definitely a joke to be made there somewhere, Brad.
Yeah, and let's be honest. The reason why the cardiac event that poor Triple H had may have been caused by genetics, but I think it may have been brought on by the stress of realizing what NXT 2.0 was about to become.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's very fair. Let's rewind here a little bit, Brad. This is kind of where you almost need to put in your recap sound effect practically. But WWE, this one made me scratch my head a little bit. Dave Meltzer reported WWE made an attempt to get Jeff Hardy to return to the company after releasing him. And Brad obviously has not heard this story at all.
Oh no, I saw it. I just, my facial reaction I've read it three times and every time my face says something, which is seriously, like the rewind sound effect, it's actually is not strong enough. I think we should be getting into the Hamilton oeuvre, and we should be having that whole rewind song where they rewind the whole thing.
I was going to say, it almost to me felt almost like Mick Foley's screeching tire sound effect you practically need here. Hardy, of course, was released by WWE on December 9th after he was sent home from a house show tour. It was during a six-man tag match in Edinburgh, Texas on December 4th. Hardy left through the crowd after tagging out. He was sent home after he didn't wrestle the next night in Corpus Christi. But Johnny Laurinaitis called Jeff Hardy to get him back a few weeks ago, including an offer to put him in the 2022 Hall of Fame class. Hardy turned it down and asked for his drug test results because he knew he wasn't going to test positive for recreational drugs. It took Hardy and his wife 6 weeks to get the results back. There's a feeling right now that this is one guy they don't want in AEW because realization that Hardy Boys would be revitalized as an act given the level of teams there, like the Young Bucks, FTR, Santana Ortiz, Penta, Phoenix, and so many others that Dave Meltzer reports. Hardy is still under contract with WWE through 3/9, so AEW can't make him a legal offer until then. But it's believed that unless he goes back to WWE, which at this point doesn't look good, he will be AEW bound. So that's reporting from Wrestling Observer. And I guess we will wait to see if we end up with Jeff Hardy in the Hall of Fame, but doesn't look very good right now.
Big money, Jeff. Because either way, he's going to get big money, whether he comes back to WWE or he signs with AEW. He can steal his brother's terrible gimmick and they can be the big money Hardys.
Yeah, no, exactly. This one here, we'll put a spoiler sound effect, an alert here. So if you want to fast forward for the next minute or so, Wrestling Observer is also reporting that via PW Insider, that former three-time WWE champion, women's champion, two-time Divas champion, Melina, Cameron, and Asuka are in St. Louis and are currently scheduled to take place in this year's Royal Rumble match tomorrow night. So that is going to potentially be interesting, and we'll finally get to see Asuka back. So, because she's been out of action for quite some time.
Now that John Morrison / John Hennigan / Johnny Nitro /... has been released, apparently we can bring Melina back.
Yep, we certainly can bring Melina back, I guess.
They're like, somebody will correct me, I'm sure, but they rarely appear in the same place ever since whatever happened between the two of them.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So it's really strange. Renee Paquette on her Sessions podcast, the wife of John Moxley, talked about the rumors and how Moxley's appearance might be huge in the Royal Rumble tomorrow night. She said it would melt people's brains. People would lose their minds. I don't think we will see John Moxley showing up tomorrow. She says, listen, I don't know what his schedule is. I'm busy and I can't keep track of what he's doing or where he's got to be. I have no idea. I don't know what Saturday looks like for him. I don't know. Will we see John Moxley tomorrow night? I doubt it. But, you know, we can all kind of dream and hope.
Well, and Cody Rhodes, shout out to Sean Burkett, one of his favorites, is he's available, I hear. I hear his contract hasn't been signed yet, and he mysteriously dropped his title on Wednesday. So, like, I mean, who knows? Listen, if we were doing what the fans really wanted, you'd have Mox show up at some point. I mean, in a perfect world, Mox would be the one that would go after Roman Reigns. I mean, that's crazy fantasy booking.
Yeah.
Why not?
Absolutely. WWE officials are said to be very high right now on LA Knight. He is obviously currently working with NXT 2.0, but Wrestling Observer Newsletter reports that as a few weeks ago, Knight was scheduled to be called up to the main roster in the spring after WrestleMania 38. He's recently been to Raw and SmackDown tapings. He's expected to be at the SmackDown tonight, which he is. He's actually doing a main event taping dark, right now.
Dark match.
So he defeated Roderick Strong in a recent dark match, and Cedric Alexander. Those are kind of being done, you know, all the time. So I expect we will end up seeing him sooner rather than later on the main roster. And maybe we will see him tomorrow night when we get to Royal Rumble.
Wait, so you're telling me that some, you know, 6 foot four-ish guy who's built like a Greek god who can talk and moderately wrestle well is Vince McMahon's kind of guy? I am gobsmacked. Gobsmacked,
you're,
I say.
You're gobsmacked at all this?
Very good. Surprised. Very, very surprised. This would be right up his alley. I mean, like, listen, there's nothing wrong with LA Knight. Good for him. I'm glad he's getting a break. But yeah, you just think about the Undisputed Era is, I mean, once Roderick is released, they can all reunite.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. But Roderick just did a new contract. So I don't think we're going to see him getting released anytime soon. But here we are.
So he's going to be released on the regular, or he'll be he'll just get beat up a main event for the next 6 months.
Well, that's possible too. And last but not least, Brad, to add fuel to the fire of WWE rumors, WWE and Disney has signed a streaming deal for WWE Network in Indonesia. So this would be the first kind of terms, I guess, between business venture, I guess, in recent memory between WWE and Disney. The deal begins with this Saturday's Royal Rumble. All WWE premium live events will be made available in both English and local languages with standard Disney Plus subscriptions. Financial terms were not disclosed, but company have been held preliminary discussions for other territories as Disney continues to look to achieve its 2024 goal of having 300 to 350 million worldwide subscribers. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. Indonesia service launched for Disney in 2020. It accounts for more than 40 million of Disney's global subscribers and is offered at a low cost add-on to its Hotstar service. So interesting to see WWE looking to expand, obviously, outside of the NBC Peacock family in the US and potentially looking to expand globally further with Disney. So maybe a potential suitor down the road, who knows?
And if this was a few years ago, the hot Disney song, We Don't Talk About Bruno, would still apply because only a few years ago, WWE didn't talk about Bruno either.
That's fair. And with that, Brad, I think it's now time that we talk about SmackDown episode 1167 from Kansas City.
Time for Greg to take his medicine. And we start off with the full SmackDown theme song, including all the clips of all the people on the roster. And then we have Michael Cole hyping the hell out of the show with three commercial spots right off the top, where all of our sponsors get their credit, and we get three matches announced, or matches, he says with air quotes, Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins in a WWE staple, face-to-face. We then get a graphic overlay that I think Greg must have called in, because they're talking about the Sonya Deville-Naomi match, but we have a graphic of Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss versus the New Day, Big E and Kofi. So, who do you know at WWE, and how did you get them to screw up the graphics?
I cannot, provide any information on my sources within WWE in the production team, have to say I've got a great couple of friends there. That's all I can say.
So are they still employed after they screwed up live on air? Because Kevin Dunn apparently was probably pissed.
Who's to say that it wasn't Kevin Dunn?
Oh, I get it. Your friend rhymes with fun. Okay.
He might be. Hard to say, Brad.
Anyways, so we ended up getting all that stuff. And And then we get Charlotte Flair on her way to the ring, and she's going to cut a quick promo. He says with hope in his voice, the reality is, nope, that's not what's going to happen. She goes on and on talking about how she's in the Royal Rumble. She loves the Royal Rumble because of betrayals and people turning on each other, and everybody has hopes and dreams. But the reality is she could have sat on her laurels, but she is going to go into the match, win the Royal Rumble, and be the first champion ever to win the Royal Rumble. She said this live on air. So what did I do?
I'm assuming you went to Google.
I did a little bit of research. So when is the last time, or who is the person who was WWE champion and won the Royal Rumble?
It'll be absolutely hysterical if you tell me the answer is her father, who we've cut out of all WWE history.
He was not champion going into the match and won the Royal Rumble.
No, and I get that, but I mean, that would be hysterical. Who was the last champion to do that? I don't know, Brad. Hogan? I don't know.
Another guy cut out of history. Hulk Hogan in 1990 was the WWE champion going into the Royal Rumble. He entered the Royal Rumble and won the match and would then go on to main event WrestleMania 6 against the Ultimate Warrior and drop his title. So they didn't even let the Warrior win the Rumble that year because that wasn't the stakes back then. But you think about it, he could have won the Rumble and then beat Hogan. He could have eliminated Hogan from the match and then beat him at the Rumble.
So I just pulled that completely out of my backside with the guess of Hogan, number one. Number two, that actually kind of, goes back to the segment that we had this Sunday on the main show. I'm going to deviate for a couple of minutes because honestly, I'm not sure I really want to talk too much about the SmackDown. So I'm going to go down a little tangent, down a little bit of a rabbit hole here. I know Mike McGuire had a segment on this past Sunday about your first wrestling main event. And I honestly, my first one in person was like when I took my kid within the last, I don't know, 5 years or so to a local one here for WWE Live event. But the first wrestling event I went to was actually WrestleMania 6, going back to, as you were just talking about, Brad, when I lived I grew up in Newfoundland, and I lived about 3 hours outside of St. John's. And my dad took myself, and he had a couple of friends went with him, and their kids were all the same age. We all piled into a minivan and drove into St. John's. This was back in the day with the closed circuit TV. They set up big screens at the hockey rink, St. John's Memorial Stadium, and they played the WrestleMania show from there. So we drove in Sunday afternoon, watched the show Sunday night, then got back in the car, drove back home. I remember getting home at like 4 o'clock in the morning from that wrestling event. So yeah, that was my first one, was Hogan and Ultimate Warrior at Sky Dome. And the thing that I really remember now, not so much the event because, you know, I've seen it, I've watched it back, but my memory as a kid is those little rings that they would go back and forth to the ring in. That's what I remember from the event.
And I joked that those were for poor Andre, who was in bad shape for that main event his match that night. So anyway, Charlotte drones on, but out comes our friend Shayna Baszler. And then she interrupts with her hideous new music. And she talks about, well, you're talking about breaking bones and hurting people. That's my kind of thing. And she talks about how if she gets in there with Charlotte, she's not going to miss her opportunity. And out comes Aaliyah. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just isn't the same. And Aaliyah's wearing her Aaliyah 317 shirt in the Austin 316 style because that's her time of her shortest match ever, which we've disputed here on this podcast. You can check the tape. It was way shorter than 3 seconds. WWE just doesn't want them to know.
I believe it was timed at 2.60 seconds or something ridiculous, but yeah.
Okay, anyways, and Aaliyah was wearing her 317 shirt, but barely any pants, and she talks about how she doesn't know if she belongs, and she wants to win, and I shouldn't be so down on this, because out comes Natty. She interrupts, she talks about how anybody can get lucky, but you have to be you have to be great to have three records. And after this Sunday, I'll have four records. And thank goodness somebody else's music comes out. Chauncey comes out. I almost forgot what her music sounded like. She's on her way. She talks about all this chaos. And she loves chaos. She thrives in chaos. And she can win in chaos. And before she can do anything else, thank goodness they saved her for last. Out comes Sasha Banks to her Snoop Dogg theme. And my first question was, wait, what? I thought she was hurt. Like, is she able to come back for the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, so she is actually ahead of timeline, at least the WWE timeline. And she's been announced now for the Rumble. So she's going to be in it. Now, I don't know if she's going to be limited in this Royal Rumble. I don't, you know, I don't expect her to win personally, but yeah, she's showing up.
You definitely hint to something, because pretty much Sasha comes in, she talks about how she can win and she has an opportunity, responding to Charlotte basically saying no one's on her level, and she slaps Charlotte. This breaks down, everybody's fighting, people start getting whipped over the ropes. Eventually Charlotte throws a big kick and throws everybody, clears the ring. She's standing tall this whole time. Sasha Banks is cheering on and directing traffic, but she's clearly outside the ring, so she's not taking bumps. She comes back and Charlotte tries to kick her. She catches her foot and then she smokes Charlotte, and then with a kick, and then throws Charlotte over the top ropes. Sasha is left standing tall. And yeah, I'm really wondering how close to 100% she is, because it was very strange having her stand on the apron and really not interacting.
Yeah, I don't know. I did read some reports earlier this evening, just before this actually went to air tonight, that she was going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. But you know, no really word on whether she'd be ready enough to actually participate too much in the Rumble. Yeah, so we'll have to see. Where this ends up going. I don't know. I've got my picks for later when we preview Royal Rumble at the end of the show. Of who I think is going to end up winning there. Certainly not going to be Sasha Banks. I think you're right. I think we've got, you know, a very limited, you know, abilities here by Sasha, at least at this point. But we'll see. We'll see what we get.
And that was side number two.
All right, fair.
Okay, and if you didn't like the side sound effect, we also have recap number one, which is, oh my gosh, they're getting the most out of this recap. Ridge Holland's face being destroyed on the pre-show at day one by Ricochet. And we're just going to play that highlight over and over again until we see exactly where his nose got destroyed. And then we see Ridge Holland's in the back, and he's there with Sheamus, and he's talking about how he's back and he can't wait to get his hands on Ricochet to get some payback and to squash him. And then Sheamus is there. This is why I like this guy. He likes to fight like me. He likes to talk like me. And after I win the Royal Rumble tomorrow, I mean, today, he said today and then change it to tomorrow, he's going to party, celebrate like me. And then he goes, Ridgey boy, you're great. And the only thing you're missing is this. And then he gives him the old Sheamus mask to protect his face. And then he goes, look, you even look like me. And then they come out and we get a commercial. So Ridge Holland has donned the broken nose mask. Sure.
I mean, at this point, Brad, if he's going to be Sheamus Light, let's lean into this.
Yeah, this is definitely, he's definitely going Sheamus Light. And then Ricochet, after we got to come back from the commercial with Ricochet coming to the ring with his new terrible music, because I guess the CFO copyrights are all up and they're just cutting all the CFO music out of this. And man, can you feel bad? Like, I feel bad for the video game programmers, because they're 50 days away from this game dropping. Are they having to change? Because Shayna had new music. Ricochet had new music. How many characters get new music now?
That's a very good question, Brad, because you're right. The other thing with this video game is, how many times have they had to drop people because WWE has dropped them like a bad habit? So I think WWE's got a full-time job here working with the video games just to update it.
Well, and shout out to Bob Kapoor on the board. He said, "Is there a Coney? I was gonna say Tony Khan, but is the other Khan? Oh my god, Nick Khan. Is there a Nick Khan mode in this game where you get to just download about a ton of downloadable wrestlers and then one by one delete them from the game?"
I would not put anything past them at this point. I saw that My GM mode, obviously, in the advertisements tonight, and that's all I could think of.
Well, and then when you talk about the money, it's like what happens is you pay for the extra content in the game, and then when you go to download it, it says that 20 new wrestlers are joining your game, and then only 10 of them show up, and you're like, "Where are the other ones?" And you get Nick Khan walk on, and he goes, "They've all been released. Ha 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 ha. Oh, and by the way, I actually charged your Visa double because we're making more money off this game now because I cut wrestlers." And then he laughs hysterically. So Ricochet cuts a Ricochet promo. He talks about how he loves everything. He's great. And the ultimate vindication is him winning, and that'll be his ultimate celebration. He rhymed vindication and celebration just like a normal human being does in regular conversation. Match number one of the night, Sheamus and Ricochet versus Sheamus and Ridge Hollins. Should be Cesaro and Ricochet versus Sheamus and Ridge Hollins. Your highlights are very simple. I got about 10 little points. Start off with the fact that we're talking about somebody winning with a belated birthday present will be winning the Royal Rumble. And then we have Sheamus and Cesaro there. They're talking about how their relationship is broken down. And when they spent so much time on the road together, and this has turned nasty, eventually this leads to Ricochet in the ring. He hits a big dive. That leads to our commercial. Back from commercial, Sheamus is dominating Ricochet. He hits his Irish curse backbreaker. Ridge is in. He's just showing off how powerful he is, including a Canadian backbreaker. But that eventually leads to a Ricochet reversal moonsault. We have Cesaro in. He's throwing uppercuts. We have the counters from the two tag team partners, Cesaro and Sheamus, back and forth. Eventually, Ridge Hollins is tagged into the ring. He hits Cesaro with his mask, using it like a weapon with a headbutt, which knocks his mask off. He hits Northern Grit, his finisher, and the guys who were the victimized people who had a nose broken win again. Yay, Cesaro and Ricochet can't win anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing I thought here when we saw this match was, oh dear God, not these guys again. Like, it's the same thing over and over and over again. This is, I feel like that we are in, we're a little further ahead on the calendar than we are right now. I thought that this was February the 2nd, because I've seen this once before, twice before, three times before. I've given up.
So Sheamus in previous weeks has, just so that for the people who don't detailly watch SmackDown take notes, Sheamus on the pay-per-view pre-show ended up in a handicap match and won the match. He's also come out and successfully beat Cesaro, successfully beat Ricochet, and gotten his revenge. And now Ridge Hollins is going to slowly go through all of them again. It is, if Sheamus and Cesaro were a very successful tag team, is it fair to say that Ricochet and Cesaro are not a successful tag team because they've never won anything together? And Cesaro's floating between Ricochet and Mansoor as his tag partners, and he can't win with any of them.
This is 100% accurate.
Okay, so poor Cesaro. Good luck in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. We then get the progressive match flow, which is recap number two. Rollins and Owens versus the Usos last week and all of the hubble of blue. We then see Rollins walking through the back. Commercial, back from commercial. We then get recap number three, which is the Royal Rumble recap by the numbers. And I skipped this. Do you know why I skipped this?
Did you see it on Monday when you watched Raw?
Oh, I don't watch Raw. No, I just, are you daft? This is going to be on the pre-show tomorrow, which I won't watch either. But it's going to be on the Rumble, at least in the middle of the show, at least once. And there's only so many things that I can fast forward through, because we're going to get the live commercials, which are now part of our, because we don't have pay-per-views anymore. We have premium live events, which are basically worse than pay-per-views? Question mark. pay-per-views didn't never had commercials.
That's fair. I actually watch this by the numbers. I mean, it's typical WWE by the numbers stuff. We've seen kind of, we get one of these every year. But the by the numbers to me here, and I don't know if it was just me or not, but I've been trying ever since to find out who voiced it, because it sounded to me like Renee Paquette, but I'm not 100% sure it was.
Listen, the most important thing is that we got Titus's success big run out there was incorporated into this package. Hall of Famer Titus O'Neil.
That's, yeah.
Three!
Hall of Famer Titus O'Neil. Just keep saying that over and over again.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, he got put in last year because of all of his charitable work.
The Warrior Award or whatever.
Crap. Which apparently counts. He is queued up at events as Hall of Famer Titus O'Neil. Listen, he should be in the Hall of Fame after he had to put up with being Hulk Hogan's wingman and getting booed in his hometown.
That is very fair. I mean, that's the least we could have done for this poor man.
All right. And at this point, Greg messaged me and said, I'm taking a break. So for the rest of this, I may ask for Greg's opinion at the end of this, but he didn't watch any of this. So I'm just going to go through the best of Naomi versus Sonya Deville, the epic recap. So Naomi makes her entrance. And then we hear Sonya trying to intimidate the referee. And he just says, listen, I'm going to call this right down the middle. And then we get recap number four, which shows the fact that Sonya slaps Naomi, which is very common at workplaces. I probably can't make that joke, but you know, people just get hit at work all the time, right? That's just the way it is at workplaces. I've only ever worked in the same kind of work. I mean, you work in the public sector more so than I do. Like, that's just commonplace, right? Your boss is allowed to slap you across the face whenever they want.
Yeah, at least daily.
Okay, good. All right. Well, the commercial, and then back from the commercial, match number two of the night is Sonya Deville versus Naomi. And the official goes over the rules, and the official is basically following the rules. And Pat McAfee is making jokes about middle management and how we all hate middle management. We have Naomi trying to hit a baseball slide to the outside before the commercial, and what ends up happening is Sonya catches her, spins her around, and basically hits a version of the Eye of the Hurricane, the old Hurricane Helms move, from the apron to the outside. After we come back from the commercial, Sonya's on offense. The referee is totally calling it down the middle, which we're being reminded by Pat McAfee. And when Sonya Deville throws her down by the hair, the referee is admonishing her, but Naomi kind of nips right back up, hits a kick. She then hits her big springboard kick out of the corner. She hits a version of a split-legged springboard stunner off the middle rope. Sonya Deville then turns, gets her big move, her reversal into a big suplex that looks like it turned into a sidewalk slam. This leads to a split. Eventually, Naomi's back on offense, and her big finish is the split-legged moonsault. And the winner of this match is Naomi, and she finally gets her revenge. And I mean, there was a lot of crazy spots and athletic moves in here, and you probably missed, I'm gonna say, the match of the night. The stakes may have turned you off, but guess what? It's not over.
No, it's not, because this is when you send me the message and say, okay, you're safe to turn things back on. And boy, were you wrong.
Well, listen, I saw her celebrating in the ring. I was actually watching slightly delayed, so I scrolled ahead. Every time I hit a commercial, I'd scroll ahead, and I said, saw her in the ring. Naomi gave her a little pet talk and speech afterwards. So I was like, oh, she's done her speech. Her music's playing. This is the end of the segment. And I was wrong, because when I caught up to live, I was like, oh, no. And then Sonya comes back out, and she's like in her suit jacket, which means that Naomi can't touch her again because she has her magical suit on, and she talks about how you love the Royal Rumble. This is your favorite match of the year. You love surprises. Well, guess what? The surprise is that I'm in the match. I'm putting Sonya Deville, myself, in the match. And you're the GM. Why didn't you make her number one? Like, that would have actually made sense. Just putting yourself in the match. And then Pat McAfee's only complaint was she hasn't wrestled since for almost 2 years, and she lost her first match back, and she still gets to get in the Royal Rumble. Like, Pat, have you seen the women in the back? There's not enough of them to fill this out. They literally might, some random woman in the audience might be pulled into the ring in order to get this to 30.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. You're absolutely right. So we'll see. But yeah, that's the first thing I thought of, Brad, when this went live, or when I turned this on based on your advice that, hey, you can turn this on now. I thought, okay, we're going to get, hey, Naomi, you're going to be number one in the Rumble. And you know what, Brad? She might still be yet, because we might get a segment on Talking Smack tomorrow morning with Kane, where we're going to be told that that Naomi's going to be number one.
The mayor of Knox County.
That's very true.
Do you think Kane brought his gear with him? Do you think he's getting in the Rumble?
Let's leave that as a tease for later in the show.
All right. So we then cut to the back, and the Usos are there, and they're in their red shirts, and they're talking about how everything will remain the same, even though they can't be at ringside. Roman Reigns will win his match because he's a tribal chief, and we are the ones. The Viking Raiders come in, they talk, and then the Usos make jokes about these are the guys who like to feast and throw axes, and whoo, they smell a little stinky. The Viking Raiders joke, yeah, you know what? We do like axes, and we do cultivate an interesting order, but we don't just use them for throwing. And they pull out axes, and they talk about trimming beards and cutting things, including cutting off fingers. And they can even cut titles. They tap the title with the axe. The Usos run away, justifiably scared. And the Viking Raiders joke about murder.
And we're back to talking about murder in WWE. So,
but yep, this time
that's where we live.
Wait, I got a joke. This time they're axe murderers.
Did Madcap Moss help you with that one, Brad?
Well, listen, he can have it. My joke is significantly better than his, and we'll get there. But yeah, the axe murderers are going to attack the bloodline. So that works in really well, because the bloody axes. All right. Sami Zayn comes out, and he is ready for a bold change to Inzane. We go to commercial, and back from commercial, I assume I was watching my iPad, I assume it disconnected from my Wi-Fi and was like, wait a second. Is that Jinder Mahal? Yeah, Jinder Mahal is in the ring. You know what I'm calling them?
What are you calling these guys?
Team Canada 2.0.
All right, Team Canada 2.0.
Because
Sammy and Jinder?
Sammy and Jinder are both Canadians.
I was going to say Shanky, not so much, but Sammy and Jinder are.
Listen, when we had the Hart Foundation, there was technically only two Canadians in the whole group.
That's fair.
Yeah, like in the Big Five Hair Friend Foundation, the reboot, Brett and Owen are Canadian, Davey was English, and Pillman and Neidhart are Americans.
All right.
So we'll just, you know what, after his performance in this, I think Shanky could be adopted. So anyways, Zayn talks about his first guest being Jinder and Shanky. Tonight, they're going to team against Nakamura and Rick, and he does the pause with the boogs. And we have Jinder trying to say something, but Sammy keeps cutting him off. And he talks about the podcast, and he talks about how this is better, and he's not going to be imitating Johnny Knoxville. In fact, he doesn't want to hear his name again. The fans chant Johnny Knoxville. We then have Zayn talk about how they'll cut all that out. Sammy asks Jinder what's going to happen in their match, and then Jinder talks about how they're going to win. He gets cut off again. And Sami Zayn talks about it was rude for him to talk about Knoxville because Shanky probably doesn't know who he is because he's from India. And Shanky talks about how everybody knows who they are. They're huge celebrities. Jinder does. Then he turns it over to Shanky, and Shanky says his first words, which is, I know them, Bungie Porta Potty. Ha 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 ha. Zayn makes jokes, and then they all get cut off by Rick Boogs and the awesome entrance. And Pat McAfee literally loses his mind on the desk, dancing like a crazy man, and we get the full Rick Boog Shinsuke Nakamura entrance.
Yep. We've got our usual spot here of Pat McAfee losing his mind, and you know, this is always kind of best of the night thing.
Yep, and it was fun. And then we come back for the commercial, Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs versus Jinder Mahal and Shanky. The highlights of this, there are very few highlights in this match. Rick Boogs is showing off his power. There was the size difference between him and Shanky. They are talking about how both of the proteges are in there. Shanky is trying to beat down Rick Boogs, but eventually he gets the advantage. He uses his strength, and they both collide in the ring. They're both down as they're both crawling to their corners. Jinder gets tagged in, but Boog's partner, Shinsuke Nakamura, gets pulled down by Zayn. Tag's not made. Rick Boogs then hulks up, fights off both of them with Polish hammers, shoulder tackles, and hits a very impressive pump handle slam into his big slam, known as the Boogs Cruise, for the win. And I guess Shinsuke's still hurt, right?
So I did see something earlier today that Shinsuke is actually cleared, but I mean, he didn't do much in this match, so not 100% sure on that.
Maybe he's being saved for the Rumble the same way. Maybe Sasha and him are both fine. They're just like, you don't have to bump on SmackDown. It's okay.
Maybe.
This is just like one of the dojo systems. It's his young boy. He does all the work. If you watch old Japanese wrestling, I mean, the mouth would give us this. So, you know, mouth, if you happen to listen to this, comment. You have the veteran who basically stands for the hot tag and hits his big moves. And then you have the rookie who does all the bumping. Except in this combination, not only does he do the bumping, he does his own hot tag.
Yep. So, well, that's a very interesting thought, Brad. I think I never kind of thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right.
Okay, for the first time in a long time, Big E is back on SmackDown. And I mean, by a long time, he was here last week, but this time he actually gets to wrestle. It is this version of the New Day. And he talks about a bear pooping in the woods. No, that is not a typo. And when Kayla is asked, does she feel the power? They talk about feeling the power. And New Day makes it clear that it doesn't matter which one of them wins the match at the Royal Rumble, because if one member of New Day wins, they all win. And they come out to the New Day entrance, and somewhere inside, I'm like, is this the end of Big E's push?
It's distinctly possible. I'm holding out hope that maybe he is going to end up winning the Rumble, but who knows?
Well, abandon ye all hope who enter here, because out comes the happy folks, Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. And then we see again from day one, another recap of, which is like recap number five of the night, Drew being destroyed by the happy folks. We cut to the back during their entrance, and we hear another joke. Are you ready for this joke? It's quite good. I went back and listened twice so I can make sure I got all of the details for this one.
Lay it on me, because I didn't pay attention to this joke.
So Happy Corbin's begging for another Scottish joke, and Madcap says, what do you call Drew McIntyre after he's been beaten up so badly that he can't pee standing up? The Squattish Warrior.
So I'm assuming, and this is just me talking out loud, but this continuing mention of Drew on the show must be setting us up to see him return tomorrow night.
Well, if not, like, do you have any real hope of anybody else winning the Royal Rumble other than either Roman or Brock?
Again, you know, maybe Big E.
Yeah, and maybe. Drew would be another big name. Like, but when you look at the roster, it's like, guys, like, like, unless you're going to make somebody at this Royal Rumble and pick somebody out of left field.
Yeah.
I got nothing for you.
No, anyways, I don't either.
New Day versus the Happy Folks. Again, like 10 little points. We start with Big E in the ring. He gets the advantage on Madcap. Eventually, they hit this flashy leapfrog splash which leads into kind of like a senton by Kofi. I have Pappy Corbin tags in, which is shout out to Boris. So Pappy Corbin tags in, and he gets the advantage on Kofi. Kofi hits, tries to get some high spots in. He goes to hit his trust fall to the outside. He gets slammed into the corner, which leads to the break. Back from the break, Corbin is beating up Kofi. Shockingly, this is just when the hot tag happens. And then Big E goes wild. He's hitting throws. He ends up hitting his big splash. He cuts off Madcap. And eventually, we get this crazy combination with Madcap and Happy Corbin hitting a deep six. This still leads them on offense for just a brief time. But eventually, Madcap is left alone in the ring with the New Day. And they hit the midnight hour. That's the match. That is technically your main event match of the night. Yeah. It wasn't bad. It just like Big E and Kofi getting back together for the first time for the New Day. It should have been more than this.
Yeah. This was fine, I guess. You know, 7-minute match. But it wasn't anything to write home about.
It was a house show special.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
and this was some kid's first ever main event.
That's fair and a little sad.
Okay. All right. Then we see Royal Rumble highlights setting up the Brock Lesnar Bobby Lashley match, which works out to be recap number 6, your final recap of the night. And then we have Roman Reigns coming out for his face-to-face. He's making a slow walk to the ring. Commercial. Back from commercial, Roman has barely done his entrance. Then we hear during this entrance that Roman Reigns is the longest modern champion. He's up there with the likes of Hulk Hogan, Pedro Morales, Bob Backlund, and the aforementioned Bruno Sammartino as one of the longest major title reigns in history. He has entered the top 5.
Yeah, I guess that's great. But I mean, is Bruno Sammartino a modern champion?
They're not mentioning CM Punk on TV.
Well, I guess, I mean, WWE likes to rewrite its own history all the time. So sure, why not?
Seth freaking Rollins comes out. He does his whole entrance. He's in his best Joker gear and his purple suit. If he had a green tie, we would have been all set. And we eventually get Roman Reigns starting his promo by being asked to acknowledge the classic John Cena half and half reaction by the crowd. And then Roman Reigns smiles and he talks about how last week he had a simple decision to make and he wasn't about to let you beat his family, the bloodline. So he just decided to punch you in the face. It's the same result. And Seth Rollins is annoyed by the embarrassment line. He's like, embarrassed? Ha, 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 ha. If you're talking about embarrassing your family, you've lost to me so many times that you're the embarrassment. Then we talk about the past. Roman says, but right now I'm in God mode. And then Seth starts going through the famous moments, the betrayals, and eventually the chair to the back. That's what sets Roman's off. He is PO'd about being hit in the back with a steel chair all these years later. And Seth Rollins says that everything that you've done has been because of me, because of that one moment. I put you on the path, all of the private jets, everything. And he says, it's not personal. When I take your title, I will still love you, brother. And we have Seth Rollins in his Joker suit laughing maniacally. And Roman says, the chair to the back, break up the shield. For this, I will never forgive you. And I will never, and I will always hate you. Tomorrow, Seth says, you won't be, you will have something else to hate me for because you're a joke. Your family's a joke. Your bloodline's a joke. Your uncle's a joke. Your daddy's a joke. Your title reign is a joke. You're a joke. And you're, and you go up in smoke tomorrow. Roman turns, shoulder shrugs him through, but he, as Seth turns his back, Roman tries to hit the Superman punch. Seth dodges the Superman punch. And then we ask, then the announcer asking, is he in his head? Is he going to be able to win? Greg, there's a snowball's chance in hell that they're going to let Seth Rollins the Joker win this title, right?
I think that that is a great way to segue over to our discussions for Royal Rumble predictions.
All right. Well, so that is, well, maybe even all of our, but at least part of our Dilly Dally tonight. So let's talk about the Royal Rumble matches. We're going to bring up our Wikipedias, which will allow us to look at the card for tomorrow night. That's right, folks. If you're listening to us and you're listening to us after Saturday, if you're some, you're like, I'll wait and listen to these guys on Sunday. You've already missed the Royal Rumble, and the Royal Rumble took place on Saturday at St. Louis, but here is a little preview for the Royal Rumble. So what is our first match tonight?
So let's go with let's talk about the Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Seth freaking Rollins, including freaking in the rundown on Wikipedia. Since you were just asking about with the Usos banned from ringside. Brad, I think that this is going to be the upset. I think Seth Rollins is actually going to pull this off.
I really hope that what we end up getting is not that, because if that's what we get, I really would like to see Roman keep this, and I would love to see Roman and Brock wrestle on night one of WrestleMania and then have a unification match on night two. So that's what I'm going to hope for. So go Roman.
Okay. I think that, well, we've got a disagreement there. I think you're going to see Seth Rollins win. I think you will see Brock Lesnar retain. And that's how you get the Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match for WrestleMania.
See, if I was going to pick somebody, I'm going to root for my unification, but maybe Paul Heyman turns, because he's still in all of the Bloodline merch in that picture. So maybe he turns on Brock. Bobby gets the title. We have one, that's our Raw. And on SmackDown, we have Brock versus Roman. So now I've talked myself into it. So that's what's going to happen. Bobby's going to win that match.
Okay. All right.
Oh, man. Can we wait? Can we do Becky and Doudrop next?
Sure. I mean, we've just covered the Brock and Bobby match, so yeah, let's go to Becky and Doudrop.
So Becky's winning.
Yeah, Becky's gonna win. I have not seen any Raw, so I have no idea what the buildup of the storyline is. Besides, you know, some horrible promo and ring gear. This is Becky.
Okay. Edge and Beth, the Grit Couple, versus Miz and Maryse, the It Couple, in a mixed tag match. This has got to be Miz and Maryse so this feud can continue, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that this has to be a Miz and Maryse so Edge and Beth Phoenix can get the win back at WrestleMania. I will not expect to see these guys at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in Saudi, because, well, that's just
blood money. Blood money. But they're allowed to travel there. They can travel with their husbands.
They can, but I just don't expect this to be a match that is going to be one that they want to see. I mean, the Saudi, the one of the last shows that was there, that they wanted Yokozuna to show up at the show, and that's why they brought in some of the talent they did. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of Saudi Arabia, we have not the greatest Royal Rumble, but just a regular, two regular Rumbles. Women or men's first?
Let's go women's. Let me run down the participants that are announced as of right now. This does not include any of the spoilers that we talked about before that are potential potential people. So, and I'll even include when they were announced. So announced on SmackDown on January 7th, we have the following Raw people who will be in the Royal Rumble: Rhea Ripley, Nikki Ash, Dana Brooke, Carmella, Queen Zelina, and Tamina. From SmackDown on the January 7th announced show, Shotzi, Natalia, Aliyah, Naomi, Shayna Baszler, and Charlotte Flair. We also have I guess, legends.
Hall of Famers. Hall of Famers, yeah.
Hall of Famers. Nikki Bella, Brie Bella, and Lita. And then we have Legends, which was a bit of a controversy, also announced on January 7th, of Michelle McCool, Kelly Kelly, and Summer Rae. And the surprise wild card announced on that January 7th SmackDown, Impact Champion, Mickie James. On January 17th, announced on Raw, Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan were announced for the show. And tonight we had Sasha Banks announced, as well as Sonya Deville, who's the general manager of SmackDown / Raw. So that is the list of 23 of 30 confirmed entrants. So we have seven, TBAs and potential surprises in there for the show.
So the winner is going to be not from here. That's my pick. Ronda Rousey's been rumored. That's who your winner is.
That's exactly what I was waiting for you to say something first. I was going to say, but my pick here is Ronda Rousey. I think that we are going to see the Rowdy one show up tomorrow night. At least that's my hope. And if I am disappointed, I will be extremely disappointed. I will then put my, I'll put my weight then behind someone like a Mickie James, just so we can see the internet lose its mind.
All right, so in the men's match, we have announced on January 3rd on Raw, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, and Austin Theory. Announced on SmackDown on January 7th, we have Johnny Knoxville, free agent, and Sheamus. We go back to Raw on January 10th, we get Damian Priest, AJ Styles, and Big E. Then we have announced on January 14th, some of these are on SmackDown and on Twitter, Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, Sami Zayn, and Kofi Kingston. January 17th, Raw, Kevin Owens, Omos, Randy Orton, Riddle, Chad Gable, Otis, Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode. And then tonight on SmackDown, Shinsuke Nakamura, Rick Boogs, and Ricochet. By the way, those last three were between Twitter and WWE.com. They didn't get announced on the show because who cares? Is there a possibility? That's currently 25 out of 30 for the men. Is the winner announced here?
Oh, that's a real good question. Is the winner announced here? I don't have anyone that is screaming as a winner in this list. Besides, my heart says Big E, but I don't think it's going to be Big E.
Yeah, it's got to be Roman or Brock. And the easiest thing is to put Brock in 30 and let him win.
See, I think that I would rather have Roman go in here and Roman win. I think, we've seen Brock win the Rumble, right? He won it, what was it, last year that he won the thing?
And so has Roman won a Rumble, though. He won the year he faced Brock.
What year was that?
Roman versus Brock, the year of the cash-in. So
the year of the cash-in? Roman, okay, so that was, what, 2017?
According to this, it was WrestleMania 31. Yeah, so that's 2015.
2015, okay. All right, so, I mean, it's been a little while since he's won one. I'd go for Roman here to win.
And it would make, but you know what? There'd be something beautiful. So Brock gets screwed out of his title, Brock wins the Rumble, and then we go with the other direction. It's perfect symmetry because the last time they did this, it was Roman chasing Brock, and this time it's Brock chasing Roman.
All right. So again, we have a divergent of opinion here as to how that's going to go. So we'll have to see after the fact next Friday night. We'll have to see who was right.
Dark horses. So you talk about Big E. There is a part of me that goes, there is a very small chance that you could make someone like Big E, or you could put somebody like Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles could be a great dark horse.
I was actually just going to say, what if, and going back to my prediction that Seth Rollins wins, what if you do have someone like a Kevin Owens win the Rumble?
AJ Styles. You just said Seth Rollins. First name I think of is AJ. Can you imagine Seth Rollins and AJ Styles as one of the WrestleMania matches?
Sure. I mean, that could be very interesting. One thing I think we both agree on that we wouldn't be excited about is someone like Austin Theory or Dom Mysterio winning.
Oh, I can give you, let's see, who's the one person that would make me throw something at the television? There's a, Dominic isn't even that bad because at least those two guys are up and coming. And my
Happy one, Corbin and Madcap Moss?
Yeah, or you know what? I'll make a more controversial pick. The one that I'm most scared of is Omos. That's who would be like, oh my gosh, Omos is getting a WrestleMania match, a main event. That would be like that. He is great Kali proficient in wrestling.
So let me ask you this, Brad, and I think you kind of alluded to this earlier. There's five wrestlers that are not been announced yet for the Rumble. Who do you think some of those five are, and is one of those Kane?
I kind of hope one of them's Kane. I have a funny feeling Jeff Jarrett's got himself in ring shape. We might be getting Jeff Jarrett in this thing. That would be... What? What's the face of Jeff Jarrett?
Boy, that match on GCW last Saturday night was awfully hard to watch with Double J in it.
But he's J-E-double-F-J-A-double-R-E-double-T. Ain't I great? That's like all he has to do is come out and strut and then toss out.
But he doesn't have Road Dog anymore because, you know, we got rid of him.
Did he really need Road Dog?
Yes. Remember, he can't sing.
He doesn't need to sing. He just needs to strut.
Listen, the last guy who was strutting on their TV got into a whole lot of trouble, so...
I'm trying to think of some other outside, like some of the legends. Is this finally the year we get Papa Shango?
I'm waiting for the Wade Barrett post tomorrow morning. I'm going to tag him, like put an alert on social media. So when Wade Barrett does his annual Papa Shango's in the Rumble tweet, I will get it right away.
There would be a guy you could put in. Like if you ever want a guy to just show up for a quick one, Wade Barrett. I got some bad news.
Yeah, but see, Barrett, I don't think you could do anything with Barrett right now. Not because I wouldn't want him to, but I think he would be over and he's supposed to be a heel.
Okay, the last one. Is there any chance it's Corey Graves in getting in? Because he's cleared.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I don't see it. Like, I think that you could set something up for him later, but I simply don't see it as a viable option, to be frank.
As long as we don't get Jerry Lawler, we'll be fine.
By the way, we were wrong. Last year was not, I'm just looking back here. So whoever is yelling at their podcast, it wasn't Brock Lesnar. And it was on the, and now that I'm remembering this, it was on the By the Numbers.
Okay.
You don't remember who it is, do you?
Wait, who won the Rumble last year?
Yeah.
I didn't say Brock won the Rumble last year. I said Brock won, it'd be nice if Brock won this year. Brock hasn't won since, like, his first run.
Maybe it was me who said it. I thought one of us said it, but last year.
Okay, who won last year then?
He's not going to be winning it this year, I don't think, unless he's pulling double duty, because he's already got a match on the card.
Oh, yeah, Edge won.
Edge won from the number one slot.
That's right, because they had the whole thing where they got Brian in to this match.
Yeah.
And they did the triple threat. And Brian and Edge were mad at about it.
Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking that Brock won it last year.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Whatever, it doesn't really matter. He'll win this year.
Let's say now I'm gonna look and see when did Brock win?
Well,
Brock Lesnar won was 2023.
Listen, I have a great idea for a tease. You ready?
Okay.
we are going, this was kind of our dilly-dally this week. Next week, we'll do, you have to get behind the paywall to hear our thoughts on Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah, because it was a good episode because I didn't get a chance to watch it this week till this afternoon. And we got what you were hoping for.
I know. So we're going to leave it at that. That's our tease. If you want to hear our thoughts on Righteous Gemstones, because usually we end our shows with a dilly-dally. We talk a little bit about something that's going on in the world of wrestling, something like a documentary or things like that. But there's been nothing like that. No AD docs, no Hidden Treasures, no... Well, that's never coming back. Never.
And if it does, it's not going to be good.
Never, ever coming back, getting back together.
Well, there's a, never say never, but I mean, there's a thing. Maybe you see someone like a Top Dollar re-debut tomorrow night. Maybe he'll resign. Who knows?
Oh my gosh. Or The Fiend.
I've heard those rumors. I've got another chat with some of my buddies who are like, oh, The Fiend is going to show up tomorrow night. I'm like, I doubt it. But sure. Maybe. Who knows?
Sure. Why not? So if you want to hear our thoughts on, not on wrestling, but on other things, we usually pick something and we watch it. And it's kind of just a little side at the end, a little dilly-dally. And that is kind of what we'll do. And we'll talk next week a little bit about that. Other than that, I mean, you heard us plug off the top, but we will plug. If you're looking for SNME merch, you can go to ballergear.ca and get all kinds of things, including the Daddy Club mug, the Daddy Club shirt, or your Smack Daddy's t-shirt in blue. Greg's looking at me like, what am I talking about? Do you know why I'm focusing on it being in blue? It's because most wrestling shirts are black, but ours are blue.
That's really true. Like, we've got a beautiful Smack Daddy's blue shirt. I'm surprised you're not repping it. Maybe you'll wear it tomorrow night for the Rumble.
I was wearing it. It's on underneath my hoodie. I'm just cold.
Oh, is it? Gotcha. Fair.
There's a bloody Northeaster outside. I'm cold.
Yeah, it's going to be coming. We're hoping we'll be able to watch the show tomorrow night, assuming we have power, but who knows?
I got one of those backup batteries after Joe scolded me on the board. I got one now. I'll be able to plug my gear in. I'll stream it. I'll be fine. I'll plug. Yeah. If I have to plug in my, it'll just like, I'll just be plugging in my laptop so I can watch it. Because my laptop takes less juice than my TV, but.
We should be all right, but I mean, you never know how long you could potentially be down for. But we'll see. Tomorrow night's the Rumble. So I don't know about you, Brad, but we have some plans here. I think we're gonna do some homemade pizza and garlic fingers if the weather holds out, because we didn't get them tonight because I forgot we had something on tonight. So that's our plan for supper tomorrow night. And I'm sure we will have our usual post inquiring about what everyone is enjoying for food while they watch the show. But that's tomorrow.
I'm really looking forward to it. I may indulge in some local Eli's wings, which have been ranked very well. And I did that for the last time I had some people over watching wrestling. And yeah, won't be having people over, but maybe we'll get some food and have some fun. And you know what? If you want to hang out with people, you can jump on our board. You can comment along on Facebook. You can become a patron right now. You can watch people, but if you want to be the people, you have to become a member of the SNME family. And it's only $1 a week. You get a ton of shows, including the Rampage rollout, which will be later in this feed. You get the aftercasts, the podcast this time being hosted by Jason, Boris, and Matt, who will be hosting our flagship podcast after the Royal Rumble, which you can join and join the chat, join us on Zoom, hang out with everybody, chat, and even be brought up on air, shirt or no shirt. We will put you on camera for the world to see. And you can watch on YouTube, but you interact on Zoom.
That you do. So that's tomorrow night. We hope you enjoy the show. We look forward to seeing you out there. I'm hoping I'll be able to join. I'm supposed to be out early Sunday morning. That's going to be weather dependent. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be on tomorrow night or not. We'll have to see. But either way, looking forward to an event. And that's really it. So enjoy the Rumble. Hope you guys enjoyed our show tonight. And we look forward to talking to you guys soon.
So thank you, our friends. Have a great week. We the ones.
The ones.
So there you have it. That podcast can be delivered to you each and every week right into your inbox, along with all of our other podcasts from Sunday night's main event. We're not just on Sunday nights. We're on each and every day, and you can listen on demand. And along with our wrestling podcast, we also add in a weekly 3-hour trivia show that I host on terrestrial radio across Canada. And we also add in Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Well, he loves two things in life. One is wrestling and the other is music. So we have Dr. Mouth's Rock and Roll Lunch Party for you each and every week as well. Because you know what, guys? There's more to life than wrestling. For all of these podcasts, sign up at patreon.com/snmeradio. Only $1 a week. Hey, it's a pretty good deal. Patreon.com/snmeradio. Don't you dare miss it.